Mad Radio, Sports Radio 610. Landry's in for Seth. By the way, tomorrow, are we doing what it was like to date Landry in middle school?
Sure.
We're doing that tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay.
There's a lot. I was quite the lover in middle school.
Were you?
Quite the lover.
Apparently so.
Nah, this was elementary school, actually.
Okay, even younger.
Yeah, I contacted one of my elementary girls, and she, let's just say basketball has been a part of my life for a long time. Every story has to do with basketball.
Every story has to do with basketball.
Every story has to do with basketball.
All right, so I'm looking at this right now. The question, and we can take calls on this, how you guys are feeling before this series. Are you excited? Or are you pessimistic? Or are you, like, excited, and yet you have this, like, fear that somehow the Rockets are going to embarrass you again in one of these big situations against a big-time basketball team? 713-572-4610. You bring up the question of, are you more confident in the Texans winning the AFC South or the Rockets making the NBA Finals, winning this series? So I'm trying to go through the betting odds. I'm sure Sean Pendergast is listening. He'll, like, text me instantly. But the series price right now, you can bet 100 to win 170 on the Rockets to win. You need to bet 200 to win 100 on the Warriors. So Golden State is favored right now, and I will cross-reference that number, plus 170 with the Texans' chances to win the division. But I would say right now, You're going to say you're more confident in the Texans.
Absolutely.
Definitely?
Yes, I am. I'm very, very high on the Texans being that team in the NFL that bounces back and has a way better year than they did last year. It's not a real 4-12 team. That's why they have the odds that they do in Vegas. They have the third best odds, and they're getting 13 starters back from injured reserve. I think if you look at the Texans and you look at teams that have made that next step in the NFL, a year-to-year league, like the Philadelphia Eagles, who were 7-9 the previous season, the Saints and Rams, who didn't even make the playoffs, the Texans right now in the AFC South, because Jacksonville has Blake Bortles still, and because I don't think Andrew Luck's going to come back, and because I think Mike Vrabel's a total fraud and I don't believe in Marcus Mariota, I think the Texans have the best quarterback in the division. I think when healthy, they have the best front seven in the division, and I like the additions they've made in the secondary with Colvin, Matthew, Reed, to the point where I'm confident that the Texans are going to win the AFC South. The Rockets, it's not really a knock on them, but they're playing one of the best teams in the NBA, the best team in the NBA, on the verge of being one of the best dynasties that we've seen in the modern NBA. So my confidence level in the Texans is definitely higher than it is winning the AFC South than it is the Rockets beating the Golden State Warriors.
If you're asking me, if I had to bet my life on this, then I would go with the Texans winning the AFC South, because I think it's more wide open. And just the idea of, in this Western Conference Finals, if the Warriors play their best, then I don't think the Rockets are going to win. So if you're asking me, like, what would I bet money on to be the likeliest thing to happen, I think it would be the Houston winning the AFC South, even though technically you could say, well, listen, the Rockets only need to win 4 games. It's right now. And you don't have to account for injury with this situation because, you know, barring, well, knock on wood, hopefully nobody gets hurt during the series. Whereas with the Texans, you have to think about, all right, 16 games, who's likely to get hurt, who is not likely to get hurt, all these different factors. But ultimately, the competition is weaker from the AFC standpoint than how great this Warriors team is.
And if the Rockets can make it to where the Warriors do have to play their best to win, then it could get very, very interesting real quick. That's something I'm worried about, is are the Rockets going to at least push the Warriors to where they do have to be their best? That's the question heading into this series. What Rockets team are we going to see? Who are we going to see? What James Harden are we going to see? Are we going to see the Chris Paul that we saw in game one of the first round? Are we going to see the Chris Paul that we saw in game five of the second round? There's just so many questions about this that will not completely be answered in game one, but we'll at least have a grasp of and see just how it works. But the Rockets have the Warriors where they want them. There's not going to be a better opportunity to beat this Warriors team in the near future. You have home court advantage. They're doing something that they've never had to do. They have to start a series on the road. You have as good of a team as you've had. You're a healthy team right now if you're the Rockets. So this is an opportunity right now that, you know, a lot of times when a team does something in sports, like if they get to the Western Conference Finals, the fan base automatically assumes, you know, well, this is a sign of things to come. This is a sign of things to come.
That's not a guarantee.
After
here.
This season ends, Chris Paul is going to be a free agent.
Yep.
And as I cited earlier in the day, Kevin Garnett won the MVP when he was 28 years old. He didn't win a an NBA championship till 5 years later. Dirk Nowitzki, after he choked in the NBA Finals in 2006 and won the MVP in 2007 at age 29, he didn't win his NBA championship until four years later.
Yes.
And there was some hard time in between this. They were one and done in between that run. They won one fluke playoff series. So this is an opportunity for James Harden to where we can't assume that the best is yet to come. This is a rare opportunity, and despite the fact that you and I are skeptical as to whether or not the Rockets can beat the Warriors, this is as good of an opportunity as they could possibly have, given all the advantages that I just mentioned that they have heading into the series.
I don't know what people here in Houston thought of the Rockets in the Jordan second three-peat, 96, 97, 98. But I would say this team right now, this Rockets team, the 2017-2018 version, I think this is the first team that the Rockets have had with a genuine chance to win the NBA title since probably 1997. Now, they were in the Western Finals 3 years ago, but I thought Golden State was just clearly better, and I thought the series represented that. I mean, they lost the series in five, and if they had somehow won that series, you know, the Cleveland thing is tough to analyze because, you know, would Kyrie have gotten hurt like he did? You know, I guess you could have beaten Cleveland, but I just think that that Warriors team was on a different level than that Rockets team with Dwight and James. And then you look at that roster now and you're like, well, how did they even get that far? They probably weren't as good as the Clippers were, even though they came back down 3-1. So these opportunities aren't that common to have this kind of chance home court against this kind of team. Now, maybe ultimately they're not good enough, but you're right. These kind of moments are precious. I mean, I always think about with the Texans, it went when you look at it, pure 2020 hindsight vision. They were bad in 2010. They could have fired both their GM and their head coach. They chose not to do that. They brought in Wade Phillips. They had a really good team the next year. And I think the team they had in 2011 was the best team the franchise has ever had. I think that was their best chance to win the Super Bowl, but Matt Schaub got hurt. Mario Williams got hurt. They suffered through a lot of injuries. The team in 2012 won more games. They won 12, but Schaub collapsed at the end of the season. So looking back on it, even though they had done nothing as a franchise for like 7-8 years, they didn't make the playoffs in 2010. 2011 was the first time they made the postseason, but that, in hindsight, was their best chance to win. Sometimes you don't know when your best chance is, and you have to seize the opportunities. That's my rant.
If the Rockets do come up short, and let's say that it's a no-show, let's say that it's a complete disaster and the worst-case scenario happens. I'm knocking on wood. All right, you're going to a therapist. What are the consequences? Like, do they pull what the Raptors did? Do they consider firing the coach, or do they just bring everything back as it is and hope that next year they get over that hump? Are there any consequences? Because we both agree, like, before seasons start, what you and I do, like, as a show, is we lay out realistic expectations.
Yes.
And if the team reaches those realistic expectations, then we consider it a successful season. It's not all about championships. Not every team has hope to win a championship. But the realistic expectations that we laid out for the Rockets a long time ago, way before we knew that this was officially going to be a series, was they have to push Golden State and have a good showing in the Western Conference Finals. That's what they need to do. If that doesn't happen, what exactly are the consequences? Can you do anything? Do you change anything? Or do you just keep going with things the way they are?
I don't think, boy, it's a hard question to answer something because a lot of times you have to see something happen. And you have to feel it.
You have to be in that moment.
You have to be in that moment. So like, you think about game six in San Antonio, and there's a certain feeling that you have that is much different than, like, hey, your team lost by 30 in a game six. That's like, that's abstract. But when you feel it, it's different. I think that they would continue to fine-tune the team. I don't think firing the coach would be on the table. I don't, because, and part of it is because I don't know, like, I don't know where you go to. Like, I don't know what coaches are available. And don't tell me Dwayne Casey.
You know that's my guy.
Yeah, and I think that the Chris and James thing is here to stay for a couple of years. And part of it is because, you know, some of these guys who are these big stars, when they get older, like Chris Paul, I don't know how many options he has, because the whole reason why he's playing is to win a championship. The whole reason why LeBron's playing is to win a championship. And so these guys actually don't have that many options, in the sense that there are only so many teams that can win realistically. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think ultimately, I mean,
but you're one of those teams.
Yeah, you're one of those teams. I hope that doesn't happen. I almost can't have that happen. Like, not like that with this team, with how talented they are.
Yeah, it can't happen. And a lot of times, a hungry team is a dangerous team. And there's only one guy on the Rockets who's won an NBA championship. And everybody else is a hungry veteran looking for that first ring. And you can talk about complacency, and you can say that the Golden State Warriors, when they turn it on, are better than anyone else. But when you've tasted a championship like the Warriors have, and you haven't like the Rockets, a lot of times the feistier, hungrier team in front of a rowdy home crowd that we're going to see tonight, a lot of times that team prevails. And we'll just see if it's the Rockets, but it's going to be interesting to see that if that doesn't happen, just what exactly we're saying as a show afterwards.